You know, Troy has been helping us think about some of those old-timey words, right? What they mean, like laud and cloven. Here's another one for you. Celebrate. That really is an old word. It goes all the way back to the late Middle English years. And it comes from a Latin word of celebrer. And when we hear that word celebrate, oftentimes what we think about is party, right? We're going to party when we celebrate. But the word has more than that to it. It has a little more depth. It's not necessarily a party. It can be, but it's a practice that acknowledges an event or a person. And we have different things that we might do to kind of acknowledge that moment, that person, that event. So I ask you, what does Christmas celebration look like to you? Because it can take on so many different forms, and we see them throughout the Christmas season. Maybe you have your kind of favorite thing. This is Christmas. Well, you know, we haven't had Christmas until we've done this. And maybe it's this. Is it visiting Santa? Whether you want to or not. That is granddaughter, by the way. Or is it when the carolers, the old-timey Christmas carolers show up? That's, you know, it's Christmas, and you want to do that. That's a Jim thing there, yeah. Yeah, next year, we want to see you dressed up like that. Maybe it's opening presents. You know, you just can't wait. You know, it isn't Christmas until you get a chance to just rip into those packages and see what's in there. Or maybe for you, it's, you know, the treats that come out. All the different things. It's Christmas cookies and milk. You know, even Santa. It's not Christmas until Santa's had his cookies and milk. In fact, you're just one of those people, you just can't wait. You go to the office in the break room and there's all sorts of treats in there and you just want to do it. And then you wonder, why have I put on 30 pounds this season? Am I hibernating? What's going on? Or maybe it's the Christmas dinner. It's Christmas, you got to always get the family together around the table. And that's Christmas for you. That's a big part of it. If you haven't had Christmas until you've had your Christmas dinner. Or maybe it's just eating. Maybe you're just going to eat. Doesn't matter what, when, where. Christmas is all about the food. Maybe it's not a Christmas celebration. Unless it's at a church featuring children in robes with fire. Or maybe your Christmas celebration doesn't feel real until you've been to a live nativity scene. And you can go and you see it and you're, okay. We put Jesus there at the center. Well, in this age of so many options, what should we focus on to celebrate Christmas? What should kind of be there? So let's go back to that first Christmas. Let's go back and look at some of the folks who were there and how they celebrated. Let's take first a look at who celebrated first Christmas. In Luke 2:20, we read, the shepherds return. And as Carrie told us, you know, the shepherds were given an angelic vision and they went and they showed up to see Jesus. And they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So one of the folks that are there, it's a group of there, is those shepherds. Those shepherds were there. They were at that first Christmas. If we go into Matthew's gospel, he gives us a little different account, some different information. And in chapter 2, we read, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And they were told, it looks like the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, so you might go there. So it says, then when they went that way, then they saw the star. They were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we have the Magi. They weren't kings. They were more likely astrologers. They were looking in the skies, and they read the stars, and they tried to figure out about things. And, you know, God in his grace said, you guys looking over here? Let me show you something. Let me reveal to you something that they were able to grab a hold of. And they said, okay, well, let's go, and let's look. If we go on back into Luke's gospel, let's pick up at verse 22. In chapter 2, it says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law, Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel. So here's this guy, Simeon, another one celebrating Christmas. It's a few days down the road, but still celebrating the event. And then if we go a little bit further down in verse 36, we see there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped him night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna, this last player that we look at in this drama that's unfolding, you have these shepherds. Really had nothing much to bring. You had the Magi who had material wealth they could support. You had Simeon and Anna, all these very different groups of people all coming together to celebrate Christmas. So what can we learn from them about how you and I can celebrate Christmas? What can we do? Well, we can glorify and praise God like the shepherds. We can glorify and praise God like the shepherds. Now, I've got to be honest and admit that this is not always easy to do, especially with the week that we've had in the year and recent years that some of you all have had. How do you praise God? How do you glorify him in the midst of pain, in the midst of grief? Well, praising God is not a denial of our grief, our pain, or our struggles. It is a recognition that we are not abandoned in these seasons of loss. The psalmist wrote, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit." In another place he said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Let's remember the name that was given to Jesus. We sing this in some songs. Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. In praising God, we are not praising God for our circumstances. We are praising him in our circumstances. We praise him for coming near to us. Whether life is at its best
or at its worst. He is present. And that is the hope that we have in the gospel.
Let me also share another thought on how we can celebrate Christmas, glorify God. And that is to celebrate one another. We've been reminded this week that life can take a turn without any warning. In the span of a breath, your whole world can change, can come crashing down. We're also reminded that the Christian life is a life of community, of relationship. There's much that the Bible says about how we love God and love people. And you can't separate those two things out. This means that we support one another. We speak the truth in love. We seek out forgiveness and we give forgiveness. So let me just encourage you, if there is someone in your life you need to go hug because you haven't hugged them in a while, get to hugging. Go. If there's someone you haven't spoken to in a while that you need to pick up the phone or you need to go knock on their door, go do it. If there's a conversation of reconciliation that needs to take place, let it take place. Jesus himself said, if you're coming to worship me and you know you got a problem with somebody, stop the worshiping and go fix it first. Celebrate one another. Lift up one another. Understand that the Christmas celebration is not just about this vertical relationship with God, but about the horizontal relationship we have with other people. And so if there's something that needs to take place, let it take place. Make it happen. Don't let things go unsaid that need to be said. Let peace on earth and goodwill toward others begin with you. That's how you can glorify God. That's how you can praise him. By how you treat and work and interact with the people in your life. Reconcile. If there are some people you just... nothing to reconcile. You just haven't said thank you lately. Say thank you. Say I appreciate you. Say I love you. Don't bet that you'll have tomorrow to get it done. Make it happen today. So we can praise God and we can glorify God, but we can also worship Jesus, like the Magi. How did they worship him? Notice a couple of things here. Notice they bowed down. They changed their stance. And in changing their stance, they're lifting Jesus up while they're humbling themselves. We need to do that. We need to make sure we're lifting Jesus up, humbling ourselves. And then they gave of themselves in very real, practical, valuable, treasured ways. And you can do that. One of the things that Jesus called us to do was to live a life that looked out amongst our world and see what we can do. If there were people that were naked, that we would clothe them. If there were people that were lonely, that we would visit them. If there were people that were hungry, we would give them food. That we wouldn't just say, look at me, I'm saved, all's good. See in heaven. But we would live out our lives in very practical ways so we worship him. Because he said, if you do these things for the least of these, who are you doing them for? Him. That we worship Jesus and how we serve other people. And Jesus himself showed us that way. When he, at the night before his crucifixion, he's washing feet. He could have been said, this is my last night. I want you guys to make a big deal about me. You know what I'm going to do for you? Make a big deal about me. Instead, he's making a big deal about other people. He's serving them. And so serve. Worship Jesus in ways that may even require sacrifice. Don't hold back. And then we want to seek salvation, like Simeon said would happen. He said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." This means that there is a salvation to be found, to be seen. Jesus said, if you seek, you will find. Well, what is the salvation? We are being saved from both the penalty and the power of sin at work in our lives. And he's saying we've got to seek it. We've got just 2.5 shopping days left before Christmas. What that means is that the men of the world will be going forth to hunt and gather. And we kind of mock that a little bit, and we say, oh, those men, what are they? What's up with them? But let me tell you, ladies, let me encourage you with this thought. It's hard to buy for the folks in our life. You think about it. You get the color wrong. You get the size wrong. There are a lot of ways this thing can go wrong. Amen. Yeah. So, but you think about that, maybe you've been out there and you're looking for it. You're looking for that gift that says, I love you. You matter to me. I care about you. You're looking for it. And scratching your head, but what is she like? What's important to her? What matters? You're looking. Or maybe you can remember when you were a kid and you knew there were presents in that house somewhere, unwrapped, waiting to be found. And you're going on a mission, a covert mission. See if you can find out what you got. I happened to cross a skateboard once. Wasn't looking for it. I just happened to find it. And I kind of hit my mom. Well, I know what I got. You know, she lit into me, said, I'll take it back. My mom was old school. Is salvation worth that look for you? Is it worth the hunt? And I know that hunt can take a little time. Folks, I'm so glad for the people in my life who gave me space and grace while I was trying to find that salvation, looking in the wrong rooms, behind the wrong doors. Is it here? Is it there? We can give that gift to people too. Some of you, you found it. You found it years ago. You unwrapped this present and you are enjoying this salvation to its fullest. Some of you, you're still trying to kind of figure this out and you're bumping around and you're looking in the wrong places. And we just want to give that grace and say, keep looking. We know where it's at. It's here. It's Jesus. And if you're looking in the rooms, you're getting colder. You're getting colder. Come back. It's here. Well, we'll give you that space and that grace. Just keep seeking that salvation because God wants you to have it. That's why Jesus is here. That's why he lived among us and died for us. So we seek our salvation like Simeon did. And then we speak about what we've seen like Anna. Scripture says, Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So what are you going to say about Jesus? Well, let me encourage you. Speak about what you're reading in the Gospels. What are you seeing there for yourself? What are you learning? What are you figuring out? Speak about what you're experiencing in your own life, how Jesus meets you at your needs. Or you can speak about, I thought he was going to be here and he wasn't, and I've got questions and I don't understand, but I'm still seeking, I'm still looking, I'm still holding on. My life is not perfect, but there's some indefinable thing here that just keeps me moving forward, that reminds me I'm not alone. Speak about what you know and believe, what you've become convicted and convinced of. And when you can shout, shout it out. If you can only croak out a whisper, get a whisper out there. But speak. You know, there's a word we used to use. Don't use it so much anymore. We call it witnessing. Maybe if someone did, he went knocking on doors. We're going witnessing. And to be a witness was merely to tell what you've seen, what you've experienced, what you heard. It's like a witness giving a testimony in a courtroom. That's where that thought comes from. And so we want to speak merely about what we've witnessed. You know, this past week on social media, if you're friends with the Guthries, you couldn't miss all the witnessing going on, all the stories that were being shared, the meaningful things, the goofy stuff, the laughter. It's just saying, this was our shared story, they would say. This was my encounter with Abigail. These are my memories. Folks, that's all we're talking about, but with Jesus. This is our shared story. This is what Jesus has done in my life. This is what I'm learning. This is what I'm figuring out. Here are the highlights, here are the low points, but here it all is. And I'm going to let the world know what's going on so we can celebrate Christmas. That's how we can tell folks what's going on. We can take these moments in life, dirty, dusty, bloody, sweaty, pain-filled life moments, and say, Jesus met me in that moment. Jesus guided me along the way. I don't know how I got from there to here, but somehow I did. And when I wanted to zig, Jesus was there, and he got me back over this way, and he probably used some people to do it. And when I wanted to zag, someone came along over here and nudged me back this way. This is my shared story with Jesus. This is my shared story with his church, his bride, this community of believers. This is the Christmas story, folks. It's not Hallmark. It's not boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back, and then gets a real job. It is the stuff of life that you and I experience every single day. That is the Christmas story of God at work in us as imperfect beings, but working and working and working and working. That's the Christmas story. That's his story. Why? Because he loves you. All of this is about his love for you. And for the people that live in our houses around our neighborhoods. And the people, even in Bloomington. Joe. Spencer. In Annapolis. The state, this country, people in mansions, people in huts, people where it's warm, people where it's cold, all of those people matter to God. That's the Christmas story. And he wants us to speak it, to share it, to shout it, to whisper it, to let the world know how much he loves them. And if we can take that story day by day throughout the year, can you imagine our changed world? If you and I lived out the true Christmas story every single day, the light would shine bright and bright and brighter. In a moment, I'm going to just give you some time. Come up here if you want to. We're going to sing a song. If you want to use these steps and you want to pray, you want to have a conversation with God, If you want to tell them thank you, you want to tell them you're mad, you want to tell them whatever it is, you just want to have, you can do that. You can do that where you're at. If you just need to say, Lord, thank you for making your story my story, if involving me in it, you can do that. If you're an immersed believer and you want to become a part of this congregation, we invite you to do that. Or maybe this is the morning to be buried into the waters of baptism, calling on the name of Jesus, saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm taking him now to cross over from death to life, from despair to hope, to make all of that yours, to walk smack straight into his Christmas story. But whatever needs to happen, we're just going to trust God and his Spirit to work among us, speak to us, nudge us, convict us, comfort us, whatever it might be. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the love that is ours in Jesus. Lord, we come to you because you came to us. And you've called us out of that grave of sin and death. You've called us into light. You've called us into life. You've called us into hope. You've called us, Father. May we have ears to hear and respond and run to you the way you ran to us in Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen.